You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
A proper lady, just 19 years old. A 32-year-old prince who would be king. Their paths crossed and their destiny seemed set. Brought together in a fairy tale wedding watched by millions around the world, was this storybook romance all it was cracked up to be? This week's episode is Princess Diana, Part 1.
In the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister who?
You watched The Crown?
Actually, you know what? I thought about, after all of this research, I needed to watch The Crown. Mm-hmm. And then I realized I just watched a bunch of hours of documentaries and it's just a fictional version.
I've heard it's really, well, a lot of it's fiction, but a lot of it is also accurate from what heard. Yeah.
Yeah. It's based on the tapes that she did and interviews, obviously, and Insider. I did watch the woman who plays Princess Diana mm-hmm. talking about how she perfected her speech, knowing that I was going to have to do quotes.
And do you feel confident?
She said she worked with a vocal coach, and that's not in our budget yet.
Yeah,
so
okay. All right, well, you know, we're
just FYI.
Different levels of dedication, but that's okay.
We'll
talk about this off air.
Sorry about that. Sorry for my lack of dedication. I will say I think we've talked about it before, a solid year around third grade, I spoke only in a British accent. So I'm
preparing yourself. You're prepared.
It was a Liverpool accent. I was obsessed with the Beatles and John Lennon. So I tried it out back then. I can speak, I think, in like an overly hilarious, you know, as if someone was going to say, I'm from Texas.
Yeah.
That sort of version of it. But obviously for Diana, I will be trying my absolute best. Some of the other characters, not so much. I don't have a high regard for them.
No, but I will say in watching the National Geographic documentary, in her own words, and it's a very touching moment because her brother is speaking at her funeral and it's eulogy. But when he opened his mouth, I was like, this is the quintessential British, like rich aristocrat voice is how he sounds. It's fantastic.
I was going to say, I think it's called RP and it's the royal pronunciation. There's proper speaking and then different regional dialects. That's another YouTube breakdown series we watch a lot in this house, is accent breakdowns in movies and obviously just general, you know, regional dialects mm-hmm. from different areas. But there's a lot of, it's much like the U.S. Somebody from Minnesota doesn't sound like somebody from Texas,
right?
And or Miami or Seattle or wherever. So
even
same,
in Texas, you can, a lot of people can tell where you're from based on how you speak.
It is true, but yes. It is. That was a very touching speech, but we'll go into some of the behind the scenes in a future episode. It's a long one. There's a lot of info on this one.
Oh, my God. I mean, there are podcasts that are solely dedicated to just the royal family and particularly Princess Di, because there is no shortage of information out there this subject, to where it's one of those that at some point you have to say, okay, I can't. And it's going to be one of these things that in a week I'm going to read something. I'll be like, damn it, I wish that I had read this earlier. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the Googling is infinite when it comes to the information on her life, the royals in general. I've never been a huge royal person. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, in my own right, I am.
Yes.
But as far as the UK royals, my mother loves everything having to do with the royals.
Okay.
But now I do, too. After reading all this, it's fascinating.
It is. I became, because I was, 10-ish, 11 when she passed away. I guess I would have been almost just turned 11.
I was a freshman in college. I remember it very well.
And I remember when it happened. I remember everybody was sad. I was sad by virtue of the mm-hmm. world and my mom being sad. But now, as almost being her age when she passed mm-hmm. away and reading about her life, and, we were discussing her relationship with her kids and the humanity of her beyond just this face on a tea towel. She was such a deep person and she represented so much good. And then also how she kind of was thrust into mm-hmm. all of this. You really have a ton of empathy for her. Reading about it, I'm now a diehard diehead. Big fan.
Diehead, all the way.
Now, royal stuff is interesting. Big die fan. Because I read, and again, like you said, the Google results are endless. I typed in books about Princess Diana, mm-hmm. who's 47 results.
8 million. Yeah, it's insane how much has been documented about her. But it is because, like you said, and I also I of course knew who she was, and by virtue of the world being sad, I'm sure I was sad when she passed away. But knowing now what I know, had I known then, I would have been devastated, like so many hundreds mm-hmm. of thousands of millions of people were, because I was surprised at how emotional I got watching the documentaries about her, mm-hmm. because I didn't realize just there are a few people in this world that can do what she did and make people feel the way she did. Mm-hmm. It was really a gift to just be able to walk into a room and light it up and put everyone at ease. And she was really like a people's person, even though she was a lady and a princess and everything. But the relationship she had with her kids, and just, I never knew how utterly miserable she was.
Yeah.
And you don't get a life. So sad. Yeah. And I mean, it really was from kind of 16, but really 19 until her death. I mean, that is your whole life, pretty much.
That's it.
This was it. And, I didn't realize, as so many didn't, until, the Andrew Morton book came out in 92 about her life and everything, just how miserable she was. Mm-hmm. And it definitely makes me see everything through a different light. I'm also a diehard diehead now.
And we both watched the Meghan Markle Harry interview.
Yes,
and
I'm very parallels. Into that story right now, too.
Yeah, a lot of parallels, too.
Yes, yeah. So I'm fully down the royal rabbit hole, which is just laden with gems and jewels down here. So we've had a ton of suggestions. Mm-hmm. I mean, we couldn't even write everybody's names because mm-hmm. so many people have suggested this. Because there's so much interest right now in Meghan and Harry, but also The Crown. And just Princess Di in general, everyone's always interested in her. So
yeah,
we decided to do it. I think it's going to be a 3-parter. So it could have been a 23-parter, but we
seriously
narrowed it down.
even 3 parts, we were narrowing it down.
Yeah, so. for sure. Well, you.
Oh my gosh!
Got a very special treat. Before we get into it, you got a very special treat that I know you want to talk about.
Got my second COVID vaccine, but on the way, I stopped at the post office to check the box. In the post office box was a cassette tape of Simpsons Sing the Blues, which I talked about on the air that I had as a child and I lost and I could not find it. And it's not just a copy of Simpsons Sing the Blues. Amy and Kevin from True Crime Dumpster Podcast, this is Amy's childhood copy that is sun bleached by years that she left it in her car and
That's
played
really
it.
That's really sweet. That's
and
so
it is
sweet.
So kind. So thank you, Amy and Kevin from True Crime Dumpster. I really appreciate it. And I happen to have a cassette player in my house. I mean, it has this the original, you know, the little cassette.
Where it had the
paper.
Lyrics? Are there
oh, it
lyrics?
Has the lyrics? Oh, yeah. Springfield stole Soul Stew, Sibling Rivalry, Look at All Those Idiots, Love to See You Smile, and the picture of the singers, the actors doing the
oh,
voices.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. So this
Have you
deep,
listened?
Deep, oh, yeah. Do the Bartman? Come on. Deep, deep
Oh,
trouble.
Do the Bartman's a classic. Yeah.
It's so classic. So this is so, I mean, I love it. I'm trying not to become, because you and I discussed how bizarre people are that are excessive collectors. And
yeah.
There's a house, by the way, on for sale on White Rock Lake. It's $18 million, and there is a creepy, creepy Coca-Cola basement with a bowling alley. Thought of
oh,
you.
Oh, no, wait. I've seen a different one with a Coca-Cola thing. Coca-Cola,
too many.
You know, I've also said Coca-Cola is in my top three of creepiest things to collect. I don't know
moments.
Why. It's a delicious drink. Diet Coke is my life, but for some reason, the Coke. Memorabilia mm-hmm. gives me the heebie-jeebies and I can't pinpoint it, but something about it freaks me out.
Well, this is a creepy Coke basement and not in a fun way, like a fun 80s way, but I'm trying, struggling very hard. I've been addicted to eBay. I haven't bought much. I did buy my Turnstiles Billy Joel record, but there's tons of Simpsons stuff that I want to buy. There's also tons of Barbies that I used to own that I can get that I had in like 1996 Gymnast Barbie. And honestly, I've been looking at Princess Diana memorabilia from the 80s and 90s.
Oh, God.
You can get shortbread tins, teacups. They have tea towels, all this. I'm really trying not to.
You got to ask yourself, who's going to get this when I kick it? You know?
The Sinisterhood Memorial Museum.
Okay.
All the shit
all
that's
right.
in the studio.
Yeah, yeah. And then just a menagerie of whatever else we've collected along the years.
All kinds of weird
all of
shit
my
in this room.
My old Burt's Bees chapsticks
right.
will be just
you
on
need
display.
A collection. You know how they make those things you can put the corks of a wine bottle in? We'll do that, but with your Burt's Bees chapsticks. So we have the Sinisterhood Museum. That's the goal one day. So
like
it's
a
not-
shot glass display, but it's just a Burt's Bees
Dirty
set up
across. And we'll use your DNA to clone you and bring you back. That's the plan.
I'd love that. Please. I'd like to be Walt Disney, and my head is just put in a jar or whatever they did with him. By the way, I Frozen. Know that's not true, so please don't.
Oh, God. I can't take
please
it.
Please don't DM me. That's not true.
Please don't DM us. So, yeah. So, I appreciate that Simpsons Sing the Blues. And
that's amazing.
I mean, if you have any Princess Diana stuff, please send it.
Jesus Christ. Here's where studio. We start just... asking for people to send us their personal belongings. Yes.
If you could just send me something that means a lot to you, I don't care what it is, but I want to know you parted with it. So,
if you could send a lock of your baby's hair in an envelope to me personally, and
I want to know,
I'm just going to keep it for myself. Yeah, I'll keep a baby book of everybody else's baby stuff. God. Said every serial killer that's ever
yeah.
lived.
This is like the Patreon special where that guy was saving driver's licenses.
Oh, Christ. Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. Diana Frances Spencer was born at home on July 1st, 1961, to her parents, John Spencer, and her mother, Frances Roche Spencer. The family was extraordinarily wealthy, the Spencers having first made their fortune from sheep farming in the 15th century. Centuries later, the fortune remained. They were aristocrats and frequently socialized with the royal family. In fact, the 9-bedroom mansion known as Park House, where Diana was born, was located on the Queen's grounds at Sandringham.
Not royal, but in with the royals.
Ran in the same social circle, yeah.
It's good enough for me.
Hey, I think, really, in most situations, that's better because you don't have all the pressure of being the real big celebrity, but you get all the perks.
I like that. I like amenities.
Yes. Diana had two older sisters, Sarah and Jane. In Diana, her true story in her own words, Diana said she always felt her parents were irritated to have her and would have preferred a son. Sadly, years before Diana was born, her mother had given birth to a son, John, who died as an infant. Diana was their fourth child, with baby brother Charles being born 5 years later. Diana's childhood was filled with wealth and privilege. Mary Clark, a former nanny for the children, said,
"Diana had a happy, secure childhood. From the moment I met her and worked with the family, I saw she was helpful, laughing, exuberant, loved by both her parents, and the apple of her father's eye,"
according to the Oprah magazine. However, despite the lavish upbringing, Diana described growing up to her close friend, Dr. James Colthurst, as a
very unhappy childhood.
Okay, first of all, I got to collect myself.
I'm so sorry.
I loved it. It's exactly what I thought it would sound like.
I just, much like when people hate on us for getting snow, I would challenge someone that's not from Texas to talk like me. Actually, I wouldn't. I wouldn't recommend it. Don't do that. Yeah.
To me, you don't have a country ridiculous accent. Country act. No. My God. I mean, come to a family reunion, you know, and then you'll hear some really, really thick ones. Yes, I'm sure people across the pond are getting a very good laugh at all this, but we do our best, and I thought that was great.
Thank you. And especially with Diana, my goal is not ever to mock her. I really did watch interviews with the woman on The Crown.
You're amazing.
And heard her describe how she did the voice and also listened to a ton of tapes to try to do
my
best.
She had a very distinct, like, quiet and yes, and kind she of closed-lipped way of speaking. Yeah.
Her chin tilted down, and the mm-hmm. woman on The Crown said the end of her sentences would kind of go down.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, and she said, "All right." That was the word that this All actress right. used to find the voice.
Oh, I like it.
All right.
In 1991, Diana participated in a series of secret interviews taped at Kensington Palace by Dr. Colthurst. Colthurst had been given questions to ask the princess by journalist Andrew Morton. Morton later turned the interviews into a book titled Diana, Her True Story. After her death, Morton published a revised version called Diana, Her True Story, in her own words. In 2017, National Geographic made a documentary using the same interviews, titled Diana in Her Own Words. Prior to these interviews, the pain and suffering Diana experienced during childhood and beyond was not widely known.
And all of these sources are based on the Diana tapes or yes. the Morton tapes. And from her perspective, at the time, she was totally undercover. The Buckingham Palace didn't know she was doing these. And did you see those interviews with Andrew Morton when the book came out mm-hmm. and people said, "You're just trying to make mm-hmm. a buck off of this. You made it up. Who's your source? You're a liar." People really didn't know, from what I could tell, mm-hmm. that she was the source.
Oh, yeah.
Was coming from
and
her.
Then after her death, he re-released it and he was like, "Hey, bitches, here's my source." Mic drop. And everyone's like, "Oh, damn." Yeah.
He knew the whole time. And I saw some articles in 2017 when the Nat Geo documentary came out that it was controversial because it was these tapes, but that there weren't secret discussions. She knew along she was on the record. She wanted to answer the questions. And the reason why they weren't having Andrew Morton come in is because into Kensington Palace where she was is because they didn't want anyone to see that she was talking to the press.
No,
she had this friend of hers, you know, act as a liaison.
Yeah, she totally knew. It wasn't secret to her by any means. They weren't secret recorded conversations or anything like that.
No. And you and I, we always talk about there's three versions of the truth to everything is like one version, another person's version, and then the truth. And because we're covering her as a subject, I thought it was most fair to go on her version mm-hmm. of things. And we do have other sources and things, but any quotes from Diana, most of them come from the Morton tapes
yes.
and her version of it.
Yes.
Because I don't want someone speculating about someone's life when you have the person's opinion
sure.
of what happened.
Yeah. And of course, you know, Prince Charles has written his own autobiographies and has his own account of how things happened. And he disagrees with a lot of this. But because this is about her and not mm-hmm. the Prince Charles trilogy, then but, you know, he also admitted to it. I mean, he straight up in his autobiography was like, "Yeah, I was having an affair." So,
mm-hmm. yeah, we're diehard dieheads, not chuckheads.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Throughout her childhood, Diana said she felt different and detached from everyone. Her parents fought regularly, and she told Morton she remembered seeing her father slap her mother across the face while Diana hid behind her bedroom door. When Diana was 7, her parents divorced, after her mother fell in love with a wallpaper tycoon and left Diana's father to be with him. With her 2 older sisters away at boarding school, Diana looked after little Charles. Recalling the difficult time in an interview with the Sunday Times, Charles said,
"Our father was a quiet and constant source of love, but our mother wasn't cut out for maternity. Not her fault, she couldn't do it. She was in love with someone else, infatuated, really."
Yeah, and there's different accounts of kind of how the mother was, you know, some say it was her decision to leave. Others say, no, she was basically cut off from the family, and the father would only allow her to see the children at certain times. In the custody battle, even, her own mom testified against her.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was, I didn't really see anything, but it's just speculation that because she was in love with another man and made the decision to leave, that it was just so looked down upon that she kind of lost everything.
And that's what Penny Jerner, who's a royal biographer who has a very bad Penny Jerner kind of accent, she talked about at the time that you didn't divorce your spouse.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You just effed around, and divorce was a very grave choice. And Diana even said when she went to school, she was the only kid with divorced parents. Mm-hmm. She said later, everybody's parents were divorced. But at that time, early on, it was thought of just bang around on the side. Who cares? But she was, the call of the wallpaper was too strong.
it was a good Spencer. Print. Good print. After a grueling custody battle, John Spencer was granted permanent custody of the children. Charles said his sister felt abandoned by their mother.
While she was packing her stuff to leave, she promised Diana she'd come back to see her. Diana used to wait on the doorstep for her, but she never came.
In the documentary, Diana, in her own words, Diana recalls the sad times when they would go to visit their mother. At the end of every Saturday visit, their mother would begin to weep, telling them how much she didn't want them to leave the next day. As a 9-year-old, Diana said this was incredibly devastating.
Because you feel like you're the reason your mom's sad.
And she said that her mother cried all the time. That it was just a very, I don't want to say normal to them thing that like, Mummy's sad, you know, and she was, and 9 years old is so impressionable. That's, you know, like when you're really needing a mom and stuff and you're heading into, you know, preteen years and everything. And she was basically the caretaker for her little brother.
Yes.
Her 2 older sisters that could provide some guidance were away at school and they're just being shuffled back and forth between their parents' house. And Charles said he remembered, you know, they would ride on the train together by themselves, these 2 little kids, you know, back and forth to mom and dad's house. And he looked up to her and thought of her as, you know, a mother figure and everything. And it's so, what a heartbreaking image to think of her sitting on the porch waiting for her mom. And again, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes with bitter divorced parents, you know, who's preventing who from seeing who or what the story is. But it really doesn't matter when the biggest victim of all is a 9-year-old kid that isn't getting to see their parent.
And it's not setting a great example for what a marriage should look like.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
In 1970, Diana was sent to Riddlesworth, an all-girls boarding school located in the Norfolk countryside. She stayed there for 3 years before attending the West Heath boarding school for girls. In her own words, Diana described herself as
hopeless.
Because she didn't excel at school like her younger brother, Charles. At 16, she eventually dropped out.
She did say that she was shy, but tried to get along with some of the girls, mm-hmm. and they had her run to the end of this long lane where it was kind of go down there and touch the wall and run back at night when everybody's supposed to be in bed, and she got busted. And then her parents came and said, we didn't think you had it in you. Mm. We did not. We're not even mad. We're just surprised. What happened? But yeah, she was not. She said she felt hopeless, useless, and almost it's sad to be in the shadow of your little brother.
Yeah. And she also she said, you know, feeling detached. She hated parties, and her mm-hmm. parents loved parties, especially her dad just loved to throw these extravagant parties, and she hated it and everything. But even though she wasn't good at school, when she went away to school, she said she enjoyed it, yeah. and she enjoyed the relationship she made and everything. And while she was very quiet but happy, she had like this really cheeky sense of humor, mm-hmm. and, you know, and even we'll talk about later, like when her kids come into play. But, you know, as adults, Harry and William have both said like their mother had like this wicked sense of humor mm-hmm. that so many didn't see, you know. But at this age, she's still kind of like she's playful. She's a kid,
mm-hmm.
you know.
But she did say, I just felt different. I just felt mm-hmm. like I was different and detached from everybody. And that's a weird premonition, knowing the life that she then very in short order was thrust into.
Yeah. Although she did not excel at academics, Diana was gifted both athletically and musically. She enjoyed skiing, swimming, tennis, playing the piano, and most of all, ballet. She was likable and had a wicked sense of humor. In the HBO documentary, Diana, Our Mother, Her Life and Legacy, friends that knew her as a teenager described her as warm, caring, funny, and full of life. Throughout her childhood and teenage years, Diana never had a boyfriend. However, even when she was just 13 years old, she knew she would marry someone in the public eye. She told journalist Andrew Morton,
I knew somehow I had to keep myself very tidy for whatever was coming my way.
At 13 she thought just because by nature of who the family associated with, that it was going to be a diplomat. You know, yes. I mean, they hung out with very wealthy, very aristocratic people. So she knew she was going to marry somebody that was high society. But she said, I had no idea it would be the diplomat, you know, the biggest one I could find.
And it's, I think it's surprising, especially the age gap. You may mm-hmm. not expect that. But I think it was the florist for Jane's wedding. He said to her, mm-hmm. oh, is a wedding like this for you? And she said, oh, no, it's going to be the main cathedral. What was I can't remember the cathedral. We'll talk about it later. But
Westminster Abbey?
Yeah, she said yeah. it's Westminster Abbey or bus kind yeah. of. And one of those, did she really say that? I don't know. But she did say she had this premonition
yeah,
feeling.
Yeah, she knew that some...
Stay tidy.
Mm-hmm. And she also said she never had a boyfriend because she just didn't have time for it. She wasn't really... Mm-hmm. She didn't care. Mm-hmm. In 1975, Diana's grandfather died, making her own father the 8th Earl Spencer. It was then that Diana was bestowed the title of Lady. According to Diana, the people's princess, the first time Diana met Prince Charles was 2 years later in November of 1977. She was 16 and he was 29. The Prince of Wales, and heir to the British throne, had been seeing Diana's sister, Sarah, at the time, but soon became more interested in Diana. On the Morton tapes, Diana remembers being confused, saying,
Why would anyone like him be interested in me?
She described herself at the time as podgy, fat, and unladylike. But she said she
made a lot of noise and he liked that.
At Sarah, you would think, would have been upset about this, but she kind of went on the record saying, I introduced him. I'm Cupid, you know, and then she went on to marry like a baron or somebody that was, mm-hmm. you know. So, I mean, it all worked out fine. But yeah, I mean, they all, I think, I don't even never saw it was even romantic because you'd be like, well, my sister dated yeah. him. Do I want to get involved? But I think it was all just appearances.
Well, she said Diana, in her own words in the book, she said her sister was all over him like a bad rash. Mm-hmm. And Diana thought, well, that's kind of forward. And she was on the side making wisecracks. Highly, I relate to Diana a lot. She, first of all, she was not. She thinks she was pudgy or
no, not
you know, stodgy and things. But I mean, being the not. I'm the little sister, the mouthy little sister, and she's the picture they use for this story, she's wearing overalls. She's kind of, you know, slouching up next to this barn door. And she said, yeah, I'm just kind of joking around and throwing things out there thinking he's never going to like me. I'm just going to say stuff. Meanwhile, her sister was kind of trying to entice him. And he thought, man, get out. It's like a fairy tale, right? It's a, get out of the way. No, I want that one. I want the funny one in the overalls.
Well, and you're a lady.
Yes.
We call you Lady Heather.
Lady Heather. That is my, you are Her Royal Highness Judge Christie. Oh. I'm Lady Heather.
Thank you. That's very nice. Morton writes how Diana's first impression upon meeting Prince Charles was,
God, what a sad man.
When asked later what his first impression was of her, Charles called Diana jolly, bouncy, and full of life. Remarkably, the two did not see one another again for the next 3 years. After leaving school, Diana lived in a flat with three best friends in South Kensington and worked part-time at a nursery school and as a nanny, according to Diana, her true story in her own words. She said these were some of her best years where she would laugh her head off with
my girls.
Yeah, she said that she just loved it. She loved having roommates, and it was a flat that her father had bought for her in Kensington, and she didn't need to have roommates. They were very wealthy, but I read an article that said all of, and her friends too that lived there were all, you know, wealthy and everything too, that none of them needed jobs, but it was kind of this way of life where they got to work in these jobs that suited their personalities. They didn't need the money, but it was just a way to like do things and everything, and where they felt like they were kind of working girls without really needing to bring in the dough.
This is a TV show I would watch. It's Sex in the City, but Princess Diana's early years, hanging out with her gal pals.
Love
it. Would totally watch this. The Crown is focusing on the wrong part.
In 1980, Lady Di and Prince Charles were both invited to stay at a mutual friend's home. It was here they reconnected, and a whirlwind courtship ensued. Diana was seen by the royals as a perfect match for Charles. According to the National Geographic documentary, Diana was considered lower liability because she was young and had less baggage than other potential wives. Her young age also made her ideal for childbearing. Her father and doctors even vouched for her virginity, according to United Press International. Her uncle, Lord Fermoy, told the press,
I can assure you she has never had a lover,
as quoted in Diana in her own words.
Well, that's yikes.
Oh, yikesy, yikes. Yeah. Oh, that makes me... That gives me the heebie-jeebies, much like a Coca-Cola Classic collection. That gives me the heebie-jeebies.
I would like to believe, and I will die believing this, that my uncle has thought about my virginity zero times.
I'd also like to believe that. Yeah. Yes. And I can guarantee you that that's the case.
Yes. Yes. this is, I get it. It's for royal purposes. I also looked up why Charles didn't marry Camilla or what, and they also talked about in some of the documentaries some of the other women that were contenders, and some of them were closer to Charles's age, but then it came out that she had a boyfriend and used to date this person, and God forbid the penis has touched her in some part of her body. So that's...
Well, they also didn't want exes contacting tabloids with stories real or fake, but if they knew she never had a boyfriend, she's never had sex, and there's not a ton that, you know, somebody can say. But yeah, and we'll get into Camilla some in this episode and then a lot more in the next episode. But she, I think, was 16 or 19 months older than Charles, so they were pretty much the same age, but they wanted someone significantly younger for him.
And also somebody that was more higher up in royal status, more in society status.
More high society.
But can you imagine?
Jokes on them, because now, spoiler alert, they're married now.
Yeah, right? Everybody got what they wanted. God. But the idea to not just your uncle, but then the newspapers are talking about your hymen.
The world is talking about your hymen.
And it's one of the very first steps of getting into all this. I mean, it's about to get worse.
Yeah. During their courtship, rumors swirled that Charles would soon propose. Almost immediately, the press became unbearable. Reporters hounded Diana day and night, followed her to her car, waited outside the school where she worked, and called her flat at all hours of the night. In footage seen on the Nat Geo documentary, Diana always remained calm and collected, despite being admittedly terrified on the inside.
You just want to go, bitch, get up off of me. If somebody was in, but she's the nicest.
So nice. So nice. So, I mean, just never breaks a sweat, looks composed. Mm-hmm. I would be, yeah, I'd be.
She's 19.
Hitting somebody's car with an umbrella. Like, yeah, 19. I mean, the footage of the press is unbelievable. I mean, 30, 40 people outside her flat. She's trying to get in her car to go to her kindergarten teaching job.
She can't open the door.
There's camera. She can't even open the door. She's like, excuse me, trying to, you know, I mean, she doesn't have security. There's no one there to help her.
As a person who's dated someone, everyone's like, when are you going to get engaged? When are you going to get engaged? It's very stressful. But in this case, it's reporters in your face with cameras. Yeah. When do you think he's going to do it? When do you think he's going to pop the question? And at some point, the family says, hey, buddy, you got to let her know.
Yeah. The media wasn't the only thing making Diana uncomfortable. While she and Prince Charles were visiting the royal family's manor at Bullhide, Camilla Parker Bowles, a longtime friend of Prince Charles, warned Diana.
Don't pressure him into anything.
According to Diana, her true story, in her own words. Diana was slightly confused as she realized that Camilla
knew so much about what he was doing privately.
I think that was your best one yet.
Oh my gosh, thank you, Emily. I'm trying to channel her.
You're getting into it. Yeah, now you're doing a great job.
No, Diana, but I'm trying to channel her. But wouldn't you rate antenna go up as a jealous person?
Sure.
As a person who's constantly jealous, and she wasn't, and also she's never had a boyfriend, so you don't know what is and is not appropriate. But she said that there was a little too much Budinsky-ness with Camilla.
For sure. Yeah. And she, I mean, even if you've never had a boyfriend, you have a woman's instinct.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, they seem a little too touchy-feely. They're talking a little too close. Why is she even telling me this? And it also so just bizarre and brazen and just flexing nuts that Camilla is like constantly trying to befriend her and talk to her and like coach her and guide her and everything.
Let's go to
lunch.
I mean,
it's keep your friends closer, keep your enemies. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer type of thing. And you know that, like, I'm 19. Mm-hmm. She's 32.
Going to be 33, something close to that.
I mean, and she said she was terrified of her. She was very intimidated by her. So, I mean, this poor girl is just, she's literally a girl. She's thrust into this.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really, much like Meghan claims, had no idea what she was getting into.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Diana knew more than Meghan because she was
grown up in it.
Yes. But even if you knew everything, you still don't know any until you're in it and you have that press in your face and you're like, I'm a virgin. I've never had a boyfriend. I'm about to marry the Prince of Wales.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
Well, and you have no leverage, right? She's 19 and ostensibly wants to marry him. You know, we'll get into whether he wants to marry her. But you can't say, hey, I'm not going to marry you if you don't stop talking to this woman. Because what's the answer? The answer is going to be,
yeah,
okay, well, we're not going to get married. I'll find somebody else. So it's a rock and a hard place. And also, if you have people around you going, that's just the way things are.
Mm-hmm.
People bang around. That's what they do.
Yes. Yeah. And also, he's the prince. Don't question him. But you're going to be queen someday. Don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, shut your mouth. Do whatever they ask of you. You've got the throne, the crown, in your sight.
Yeah.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
After only 13 dates, Charles proposed to Diana on February 6, 1981. When he proposed, Diana initially thought he was joking, according to the Nat Geo doc. She laughed before saying,
"Yeah, okay."
Charles then told her,
"You do realize one day you'll be queen."
Diana recalled that a voice inside her head said,
"You won't be queen, but you'll have a very tough role."
She then declared to her new fiancé,
"I love you so much. I love you so much."
He blandly replied,
"Whatever love means."
Okay.
That's his catchphrase. This is man's catchphrase.
Here is where I just started. I did not know a lot about Prince Charles.
Mm-mm.
Your face looks like you sucked on a lemon.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so do his.
Yes,
so.
Yeah. I'm not a fan. Not a fan.
You know, I get it. Our UK listeners, first of all, again, I'm an Anglophile. I love British stuff. My dream vacation is to go to London, Scotland, mm-hmm. Wales, same. Ireland. I mean, way into it. We've got to visit Nessie. Going to go see the family plot. I got a lot to do in the UK.
I'm a quarter Irish.
There you go.
There you go.
We're into it.
I don't know what that has to do with anything. Nobody gets
but
a
it's
shit.
There. Now we know. Now we got. We'll put our DNA results up. Yeah. You can check them out. But so I you know, it's like in the U.S. Just because George W. Bush was our president, and I'm using his book Decision Points to hold my laptop up right now, doesn't mean we love George W. Bush. Nah. So it's a question to me is like, as a leader, he's a leader of your country. Does everybody love him? Do they just grin and bear it because he's gonna be king? Maybe in theory, unless he, you know, lets William skip the line. So there's also cultural things, you know, between us and I hate to besmirch a country and,
sure.
You know, I love the royals. We're both way into it now. But he's a dick, man. He's a dick a lot of the
time. It seems like it.
And maybe if you are fixing to be in charge of the whole UK kingdom, you can be a dick. That's your go for it. That is what you get to do. But a couple of things he says, and if you watch the interviews, and she later gives a play-by-play on the interviews that she did, and she said, in no uncertain terms, that fucked me up when he said that.
She said it traumatized me.
It's traumatic to have a person that you say, "I love you so much," and they go, "Yeah, whatever, kid, fuck it." And maybe she was 19 and naive, and one would say, "Well, that's how it is, and there's not really love." But maybe hopefully with William and Kate, and definitely with Meghan and Harry, they are really in love. From all the photos you see, they genuinely seem to enjoy one another. But just be a dick behind closed doors. He was that as well.
Yeah, for sure.
But openly in interviews, he almost... He doesn't have any chemistry, and he seems to regard her, frankly, with disdain.
Yes. You know, he seems very much, there's no poker face as far as hiding.
Ew.
This is a marriage of convenience because I need to have children with a young stallion. Wait, stallions are men, right? Men.
Mare?
Boys?
Yeah, stallions are boys. Stallion is a man.
Horse is a man.
A mare. The horse is a man, baby. It's a mare. I would say a breeding
gal. Yeah, that's
gal.
How she's just a figurehead, you know? I mean, where he's boning Camilla all the time, probably others as well. That's, I mean, it's, you know, like an open secret that they're still a couple, even though she is also married.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just like, well, for appearances, we need you to marry this very attractive young thing that comes from a distinguished family. If you don't want to pretend like you love her to everyone, that's cool. But like you said,
sell it.
I mean, my God, how mortifying to know that millions of people are watching this and you're just like, okay, yeah. I guess my husband's just going to be really open about the fact that he doesn't love me.
He doesn't give a shit. And it's almost a record scratch. He says this stuff and you look at her face and she seems to say, huh?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, there are even interviews where they both kind of like are roasting each other in very low-key ways.
Proper jabs.
Yes.
Which, you know what? Mad respect.
Yeah.
Because I'm full trash and I'm this son of a bitch. There's something to be said for the United States Jerry Springer style Dr. Phil people hollering at each other versus this very proper, "Oh, don't know if I love her."
Yes.
All right. Which one is worse? Which one's more cutting? I don't know.
They're the same.
I'll tell you, one of them's more skillful, and it's this way.
It is.
It's a sneaky way where you say, "Did you just say something very nice in your polished accent, or was that you was a middle finger to me?"
That's okay, the cool, thing, cool, cool, too. Cool, cool. To us, it doesn't sound as bad because of their accents, but to them, it's they hear themselves talk all the time, so their accents aren't cool to them. I don't
That's
know.
True.
Are they?
I think it's the best accent.
Oh, I do, too. But if you talk like that, you don't have an accent.
It's like a four-way tie between Scottish, Irish, English, and Australian. Solid four-way tie for me for best
accent.
Well,
when I do those, they all sound the same. So I'd like to think I'm just taking all my favorite accents and blending them into one.
It's a milkshake. It's an accent milkshake. Mm-hmm.
Diana's friends asked if she was excited about being engaged. While Diana felt Charles was in love with her, she later recognized this was foolish immaturity, reflecting in her true story, her own words, that
it was like a call for duty, really.
And that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. They're trying to get her pumped up about it, and she sort of realized pretty quick.
Yeah. Though the engagement wasn't public yet, Diana had no privacy whatsoever. The media was relentless, following her everywhere, day and night. Press members rented the flat across the street from hers, using cameras and binoculars to spy on her every move. Her family and friends were also hounded, with her flatmates being woken at all hours by the phone. On the tape secretly recorded at Kensington Palace, Dr. Colthorse asked Diana,
"Any chases involving the media?"
Diana replies,
"Oh, lots of them."
Well, that's some sad foreshadowing. But, I mean, you see on the tapes, I mean, you see the footage that she's driving, like trying to, like, you know, get out of a parking spot, and they're just running next to the car and run on motorcycles and
speeding.
It's terrifying.
She said she got really good at running red lights or going through them right as they turned so that they would get stuck behind her and she could try to get away. They also said they chased her while she was on her bicycle.
Yeah.
That it was just you can't go, "I'm going to go out for a run."
Yeah. No.
Or, "I'm going to go out for a nice cycle today." No, you're not.
Or even, "I'm going to sit in my own apartment and watch TV." Oh, who's that staring across the way with their binoculars? Like, you feel safe nowhere.
Mm-mm.
Diana was overwhelmed, but managed to continue taking everything in stride. However, during a time when support from her soon-to-be husband would have been welcomed, he was instead criticizing her appearance. The day after the two got engaged, Diana says Charles put his hand on her waistline and said,
"Oh, a bit chubby, aren't we?"
It was that day that Diana's years-long battle with bulimia began.
And that's something that wasn't out until after the tapes and her talking openly about it.
I had no idea even now about that.
Not until I watched and read the book.
Yes.
Yeah, not until I got into the book.
And she is very open with Colthorse doing the interviews. I mean, they speak about it very openly. It became something that was even open within the royal family, too. Again, like Charles' infidelity is a very open secret, as was this as well. But it was, as we will see, she says, they said that my marriage was falling apart because of this, but rather it was a symptom of how miserable she was. I mean, you have, all you're trying to do is impress your fiancé, who is the Prince of Wales, not to mention the world, and he tells you you're chubby?
Yeah.
After he said, "Well, whatever love means." I mean, you got to be feeling like the shitty, just shit on the bottom of a shoe.
Yeah, and she's throughout her life said, "I just want to be loved. I want to be held. I want to be hugged." And I believe later in her future life, you know, she does find that eventually. But when you're 19 and you think, "Oh, this is going to be my husband. He'll love me." And not only does he apparently feel a little indifferent toward you, but then he's criticizing. Mm-hmm. And again, this is her version of it. This is from her.
Sure.
But also, it is not untrue that she then became bulimic. And also, she said his infidelity really contributed it to
as well. Yeah.
I mean, I've struggled with an eating disorder, and it was heavily, heavily triggered by a breakup and that person dating someone else and me thinking, "Oh my gosh, if I could just lose another 5 or 10 pounds, you know, maybe then he'll pay attention to me." And it's not. I mean, it's all symptomatic of the eating disorder, but it can definitely be made worse.
Absolutely. Diana's suspicions about Charles and Camilla continued to grow. The two had been an item 10 years prior, but Diana suspected there were still feelings between the two. Not wanting to seem immature, she tried to play it cool, despite being filled with anxiety. It didn't help when Charles told Diana he had been on the phone all night with Camilla because she was scared of the paparazzi that were hanging around Bullhide where she was staying. When Diana asked how many were there, Charles replied,
"At least 4.
Meanwhile, over 30 paparazzi were outside Diana's door, snapping photos relentlessly. In addition to receiving no support from Charles, Diana also stated she received no support from the royal press, with them basically telling her,
"You're on your own."
She said she never complained because she didn't feel like it was her place to do that. She didn't want to add more stress to his life because she was a considerate person. She never complained at all about the media and what she was going through and what they were doing. And then he's up all on the phone all night with Camilla when she's just like, "Oh, that's sorry to hear that. Okay."
Just slapping the damn
yeah,
face.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, again, her saying she received no help from the royal press is her own words. Meghan and Harry are saying the same thing right now. And that is why they had to leave, basically.
The press office within the royal family is what they were talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The royals planned to make an official announcement of the engagement. According to Diana, her true story, at her flat the night before the announcement, the policeman assigned to protect Diana told her,
"I just want you to know this is your last night of freedom ever for the rest of your life, so make it the most of it."
Diana said,
"It was like a sword went in my heart. I thought, God, and then sort of giggled like an immature girl."
The engagement was announced to great fanfare on February 24th, 1981. The media filmed as Charles and Diana walked around the palace grounds together. When a reporter asked the couple if they were in love, Diana replied,
"Of course."
But Charles once again said,
"Whatever in love means, of course it's your own interpretation."
He can't even be bothered to pretend. Like, I mean, it's like he's going out of his way to let them know, "Nah, this, I don't even want to be doing this." It's like, if you didn't want to be doing this, then don't do it, you know?
And my speculation is he knew Camilla was watching and wanted to say, no, of course not. But again, have the freaking respect of this person who's giving their life up for you to just go,
Yeah.
How hard is it to go,
yes,
yep,
just
for sure.
A three-letter word. Yeah.
For show.
I would love for Prince Charles to say for show.
For some, just nod your head or just go, moo. Like, I don't know, but not, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
And he kind of laughs. And that's the time that, it's on the press. I mean, it's on camera that it happens. And you do see her face go, oh.
Yeah, just drops. You feel I think that's one reason I got so emotional watching these. And it's not like I was sobbing. I just felt so bad for her that you just see in her face, especially as it goes on, she just shrinks into almost nothing. And the happiness is just drained from her until her kids come into the picture. But you just think how lonely she must have been. She already grew up feeling mm-hmm. lonely, and now she's in this world where she is, even though she's constantly surrounded by people, she feels utterly alone.
And Paul Burrell, he was initially assigned to the Queen, and then he goes off with Charles and Diana, and then in the divorce, Diana gets him. And he talks about how she was isolated, and that even he said she had her friends, but that even her family, he said they weren't close, and that she felt she couldn't reach out to them. Mm-hmm. And imagine that you're 19 and you think, okay, well, at least I still have that. And everyone says, nope, you're royal now. Sorry, we can't go against the crown.
Yeah. And we said that, you know, it was announced to great fanfare. The country went ballistic. I mean, mm-hmm. and, you know, they interviewed just people that lived there, and they said, when there's so much to be upset about around here, like, this gives mm-hmm. everyone hope. It's mm-hmm. because, I mean, they don't know what's going on behind closed doors or anything. They just mm-hmm. see this is a fairy tale.
And yeah. it was 1947 is when the Queen got married. And so it was like one of the first weddings mm-hmm. since then. And she's so beautiful and young, and she's got those big blue eyes, and unemployment was super high mm-hmm. and everyone was bummed out. Interest rates were really high. And the videos of people in the streets, it's gray and shitty. And they're yeah. like, it's great to have some cheer in our lives. So it really was bringing a lot to the people, I think, yes. according to, you know, what we saw, yeah. people's testimonial.
Before the wedding could even happen, Diana's interpretation of the love between herself and Charles was crushed. A famous photo circulated of Diana in a red coat, sobbing as Charles boarded a plane to leave the country. While the press thought she was sad about her fiancé leaving, the truth was she had just confirmed that Charles was having an affair with Camilla.
Yeah, he took a call and she mm-hmm. decided to stick around and listen, and it told her everything she needed to hear, and he kind of said, don't be a child about this.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he did not try and hide it.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
He didn't try to hide anything. It was kind of like, this is what you're getting into. I am not mm-hmm. changing my life or what I was doing beforehand. You're just now a part of it. Deal mm-hmm. with it.
And secretaries and butlers who, I mean, you probably, you feel bad for the kid, right? You like her and mm-hmm. you say, hey, you know, just so you know, FYI, this is going on. You might want to go check his drawer. I think he bought a watch for somebody. Mm-hmm. You'll see that there's a C engraved, you know, things yeah. like that, or a bracelet or whatever. Just they nudged her in the right yes. direction. Wouldn't you got to respect that?
Yeah. Charles and Diana fought frequently, but remained engaged. As a result, Diana's bulimia got increasingly worse. At her first wedding dress fitting, Diana had a 29-inch waist. On the day of her wedding, her waist measured 23.5 inches. Her unhappiness mounting, Diana told her sister she wanted to break it off. But according to Diana, her true story, her sisters told her it was too late, saying,
bad luck, your face is on the tea towels.
Tea towels weren't the only items featuring the couple's faces. The country was buzzing about the future royal wedding, and commemorative gifts lined the shelves of every store in the UK. It was estimated that local shopkeepers sold nearly £300 million in souvenirs. Meanwhile, the wedding itself cost a cool $48 million at the time, around $137 million today.
There are always arguments of why should the country have to pay for these fancy weddings, and does it really increase tourism? And economists argue all the time there's a honeymoon phase afterwards that people get really into it and they want to go to the London. But you can't deny, especially if you check eBay right now, there was a lot of stuff sold with her face on it. Mm-hmm. And that's tough when you're 19 and think, okay, I'm an adult. I have autonomous control of my life. I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to marry this fucking guy. And they say, they called her Dutch. They're like, bad luck, Dutch. Mm-hmm. No, not getting out of it.
Yeah. I mean, to call off your wedding as just a peasant is...
like myself or yourself.
Is a difficult thing to do, to say the least. When your face is everywhere and you've got the weight of, oh my God, if I do this, I'm going to let literally the entire world down. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, even though I don't want to do it, I don't have the support of even my family.
Yeah.
I guess I'll just suffer through it and hope it gets better. And she really did think it might get better. And, you know, I mean, whether that's age or just optimism, she mm-hmm. went into it with some hope that just was crushed pretty much immediately.
I know. And you see her face and
yeah.
on those towels and the way they put them side by side, and they look so happy. And there's a shortbread tin that I'm
you got your eye on it.
Oh, man. And they do genuinely look happy. And that is a photograph. Now, having watched the same day, because the same outfits they're wearing, it's the engagement announcement outfit. She's got that really pretty blue dress mm-hmm. on with the neckerchief. That's the day that he was like, whatever love means. Mm-hmm. So it's, but as a person, if you didn't catch that on TV back then, and we didn't have social media and the internet and seeing the reruns, so if you didn't catch that one, or if you just were listening in passing, all you're seeing is these happy fairy tale things that you would be shocked and taken aback. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it would let everyone down if you canceled. It's just so much pressure.
Yeah.
So much pressure on her for being only 19.
And you also might think if you heard that, oh, he's just being cheeky. He's just, they're yeah. poking fun at each other, you know? And
mm-hmm.
perhaps at the, I mean, knowing everything you know that was going on behind the scenes, it's hard to think that that's what was really happening.
And it, even not knowing what was going on at the time, she's still 19. That's yeah. poking on. And also there's a huge disparity in power. And that's
sure.
And he's older. She's younger. He's the fixing to be king and she's a lady. Mm-hmm. So you can't ask, hey, respect me. I mean, she yeah. tried.
Yeah. Yeah. The wedding of Lady Diana Spencer to Prince Charles was an international media event. On Wednesday, July 29th, 1981, spectators across the globe gathered around their TVs, and over 900,000 people lined the streets of central London, waiting for the event. As screaming fans waved to the future princess in a horse-drawn carriage accompanied by her very excited father, they had no idea that just hours prior, she had been binging and purging in what she described in the Nat Geo documentary as
bad fit of bulimia.
Adding to the stress of the day, she believed that her husband, on the other hand, spent the night before the royal wedding with his mistress, Camilla, at Buckingham Palace, according to royal author Howard Hodgson's book, Charles, the Man Who Will Be King. In reflecting on the day to journalist Andrew Morton, Diana said,
I think I was trying to pull it off.
But then added,
I think it was the worst day of my life.
Heartbreaking.
Mm.
Especially when you're what's so powerful about the documentary, and it's great if you haven't seen it, go, it's on Disney Plus, go watch it. You're watching this footage, and I mean, in 81 I was 3, so of course I don't remember this, but you see, you know, I mean, hundreds of thousands of people sobbing, just, I mean, you'd think that
screaming,
oh my gosh, it's like the most, I mean, there are people taking pictures like, please look this way. Oh, my God, it'll make my life. Like, I mean, they're mm-hmm. hanging their hat on this, everything, you know, it's giving them hope. And she, I mean, it's a literal fairy tale. She's in a horse-drawn carriage, you know, covered. She's got this huge, what is still considered one of the most famous royal wedding dresses on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you see this footage, and then the voiceover is, it was the worst day of my life. Just looking mm-hmm. at, and you're like, imagine what she was feeling inside. You have 900,000 people
more
cheering you on, looking at you. You should feel like the luckiest person in the world. And you are just, you've been up all night, stuffing your face and throwing up because that's how you have control. And that's how you're releasing your emotions right now.
And it's hard because her dad is in the carriage with her sweet old Earl
so,
Spencer. And
he's excited.
Beaming.
Yes.
And he's waving and he's having a blast and he's nailing it with the wave.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, she always kind of dipped her chin down a little bit and she's smiling, but knowing the night before. And then also, so there's, of course, two or three different versions of what Charles did the night before. So,
yeah.
She believes, and one version is that he was with Camilla. Another one is that he just spent it in Buckingham Palace sobbing because he felt forced into it by his family, and he really didn't want to go through with it either. So at the end of the day, nobody's in a good mood about this wedding.
No, and nobody spent the night before their wedding in the place that both physically and headspace you hope to be spending it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
As the world watched, Diana walked down the aisle in her $115,000 gown, escorted by her dad. She spotted Camilla in the crowd and thought to herself,
"That's all over with."
Believing that everything would be better after the wedding. Diana was truly in love with Charles at that time, saying in Diana her true story.
"I remember being so enamored with my husband, I couldn't take my eyes off him."
After the wedding at Buckingham Palace, the pair did a photo shoot where they appeared to be smiling and in love. Then at the official wedding breakfast, though they sat beside each other, the 32-year-old groom and his 19-year-old bride did not speak to one another, Diana recalling on the tapes how absolutely exhausted they both were. So you're 19, you just got married, you're sitting there with the entire royal family at what I imagine is quite a lavish breakfast, even though it was called a breakfast, she said it was really lunch. And she... like she says so many times, especially in the beginning, she's just trying to stay out of the way. She's just trying to sit there and not do something that they're going to hate her for, or, you know, make a social faux pas or something like that.
Because by this time, she had already gone to that party where she wore the black dress.
Yes.
And that was a big thing, that it was a very plunging neckline. She didn't know how to hold her purse right. And luckily, Princess Grace of Monaco said, "Welcome. It only gets worse from here.
Right.
Hold your purse in this hand. Stand this way. Turn your face this way." Because nobody gave a guidebook on how to act or what to do. And especially the footage of her walking down the aisle.
Yeah.
And Camilla is in the background. You see this lady who may or may not have banged your now fixing to be husband the night before, but at least has banged him in the last, 72, maybe a week, 72 hours to a week. She's been up in that recently. And you have to see this woman looking at you at your damn wedding. That is, again, another slap to the face. And especially the blessed naivete to think, well, we'll be married and it'll be different when we're married. Bless her heart.
The only thing that's going to be different is it's going to hurt even more.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. Going back to... that no one trained her how to behave. That's what Meghan Markle has said too on the Oprah interview, that, you know, she would have to Google what are the words to the national anthem. Like, you know, I mean, because no one said this is how you cross your legs. She said she remembers when she met Her Majesty the Queen and Harry said to her, "Do you know how to curtsy?" Because it was a very like spontaneous, they didn't know they were going to be meeting her. And she was like, "What are you talking about? I'm meeting your grandmother." He's like, "You're meeting the queen. This isn't just my grandmother." Before that, she's the queen. And she said she just like practiced trying to curtsy, you know.
Did she say Fergie ran out?
Yes.
And said, "Okay, do a couple of them. Let me make sure you're doing it right."
But
I think that's nice to have, where Fergie was willing to help and Harry is willing to help and warn them.
Yes.
When you watch all the footage of Diana, she, except for Princess Grace, really, I did not hear her. And some of the staff and servants, but not even all the staff and servants. There was not a lot of, "Let me help you out."
Yeah.
Like, I got you. Let me help you. It was, "What do you mean you don't know? What, are you going to wear that dress?"
Yeah. That's what he said to her. She said when she, in the infamous black dress, it was taffeta, off the shoulder. And she was 19. It was like, she said that when, you know, she got engaged, she had one nice shirt, one nice pair of slacks, one nice pair of shoes. And her mom and her had to go and buy, you know, like six gowns and all these outfits and everything. And she thought at 19, black was the smartest and classiest color you could wear. Imagine you're getting all dolled up. She said it was her first, you know, big engagement to go out with him. And she was so excited.
This is while they were engaged, before they were married.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, engagement as in a party.
But yeah.
Yeah. And she walks into his study and the first thing he says to her is, You're not wearing that, are you?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, yes, I am. And he said, well, people in mourning wear black. And she said, well, I'm not a member of your family yet because I believe isn't their color blue? That's the royal color. So, you know, she was thinking, I'm playing it as safe as possible. Nobody can say anything about the color black.
Basic black. Yes. And everyone shit their pants, even though she looked fly as hell
she looked,
in that dress.
Oh, and her boobs look great because she said she didn't, you know, she said everyone else in the royal family had smaller chests and they wore more clothes that covered them up more. So there's a picture where she's getting out of the car and she's just leaning over to get out of the damn car. But at the time the photo was snapped, she looks very voluptuous. She looks fantastic. But, you know, that's plastered all over the tabloids the next morning and everything. And you think you look so great.
Mm-mm.
And then everyone just shits all over it. That makes me so sad.
Yeah, that you get dressed up and look at yourself in the mirror. And first of all, your fiance tells you no. And again, judging her body, commenting on her body. She had no, from the time they started getting together, she had no bodily autonomy.
Sure.
The press is talking about her virginity. They're talking about her boobs. They're talking about how she looks, the color that she wears in a dress. And I get that it's an institution and there's respect for the institution. And I think that's the undercurrent of all of it is that it's not done. We have these traditions. We have this. But I think what we're seeing now with the Harry and Meghan stuff, that institutions have to evolve with the people that they serve.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see, which we'll get into in part two, that everybody is like, fuck a bunch of royal families. We love Diana. She's the best. Prince Charles, who gives a shit? Diana's the best. You start to see you really got to cater to your crowd. And the crowd seems to love Diana, so let's maybe lay off what she's doing. Let's support her, guide her, and utilize her as best we can. And that might maybe should have happened with Harry and Meghan, too.
Yeah.
Just saying. It's a missed opportunity to get somebody who's a great ambassador. It's like having a brand ambassador. Mm-hmm. And
that's what they are. They're ambassadors and branded. What's surprising to me is that there isn't someone that it is their job when somebody joins the family to say, here's we're having a crash course on this is what you do, because I would think they wouldn't want to be embarrassed.
As you say, my job is for you not to embarrass us. So let's hang out for a week. I'm going to go through everything with you. But that is not what happens.
It's
and
so
Diana
surprising.
Is thrown in the deep end.
Just a royal family boot camp is what everyone needs to get everybody on the same page. And then you're good.
Somebody's job that you'd think.
You would think, yes. In the afternoon, the newlyweds took off in another carriage, this time with Diana in a smart pink dress. The two were headed to the royal yacht to embark upon their honeymoon. With her eyes set toward the future, the bride attempted to remain positive, saying in Diana, in her own words,
I just had tremendous hope in me, which was slashed by day two.
God, day two.
Oh, pretty quick.
Also,
one of the horse guys, not a half man, half horse, the guy on the horse escorting their carriage was Andrew Parker Bowles.
Yeah.
He's right up in your face.
They're all, and that's Camilla's. I don't know if they were divorced
yet. Yeah, they were married by then.
They were definitely married. I don't think they got divorced, actually, until 95.
No,
so, they were definitely married and had a kid or two at that point.
Yes.
And from what I have read, he knew about their affair.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like you were saying, everybody's just like, fuck whoever. This is all for appearances. We all got titles and we're all high society. We can all be adults. And, you know, I'm sure I think it did say he stepped out all the time. So he wasn't mad about her having a relationship either. It was all for appearances. But sweet, naive 19-year-old Diana is not familiar with that world or that way of life. And she's just a lamb to the wolves.
Yeah, and it's just within this society that you have to accept it, and that's you ain't changing it. I did appreciate in the same documentary, there were two different royal biographers, and one said that Andrew Parker Bowles was the greatest lay in London, and everybody wanted to get a piece of him, and that Camilla spent something like 6 years courting him, and eventually on year 7 of the courtship, they got married. But then later on, I believe it was a different biographer said, many people around London said Andrew Parker Bowles laid down his wife for the queen, is a killer burn.
Yeah.
It's a really good, but he, like you said, he turned his head and he it was part of his duty.
Yeah.
But I just can't imagine knowing your husband's banging around on you, seeing the recipient of the bang there
the
and the willing cuck on the horse right by your carriage.
Yeah. It sullies it a lot. What'd you say?
Said it sullies it a little bit.
Just a little. Yeah. She also said that, you know, they're going to this honeymoon. The yacht, I mean, it's like a princess cruise ship. It's freaking a Carnival cruise line. He took 8 novels with him.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
And she said that, you know, they were only had, you know, minutes alone together each day, because even on your honeymoon, it's press, it's pictures, it's photo shoots. Yeah. And, you know, then in your downtime, he's reading. And she said she was just exhausted. And for all you want to be tired on your honeymoon for all the all the boning you're doing, not because.
Or because you vomited on the Harry Potter ride.
That's true. Yeah.
That's why.
And she was just exhausted because they're just, it's just press circuit after press circuit.
It's interesting, obviously, in the days before iPhones and digital BlackBerry planners and whatnot, that they had these diaries and they had to match their schedules up in diaries and plan when you would see each other.
Yeah.
Because it's that packed of a schedule. And then all the photos of Camilla flies out of his diary on the boat on their honeymoon.
That's what she said.
Fucking terrible.
That they're on their honeymoon, they open up their diaries, which I think is what we would call planners, to schedule something, and 2 pictures of Camilla fall out of it.
Yikes.
And she said that they had an awful row, is what she calls them. And that's how you're spending your honeymoon, knowing that if all he wants is to be there with Camilla, and you don't want to be there either, it's like, why is anybody here?
Yeah.
Nobody's having fun.
Nobody is having fun. The royal honeymoon story.
I'm going to write that autobiography. Or I guess, again, what is it if you write it about somebody else?
Biography.
Oh, shit.
Otto is the same as yourself. Like, real autoerotic asphyxiation.
Oh, I am going to write that too. It's a real stupid question. Oh, my God. Speaking of stupid questions. Tommy texted me this. This is totally has nothing to do with anything except for the fact that I'm now 2 for 2 on real stupid questions. Yeah, and then Tommy texted me a picture of this really pretty national park. And he said, we should go to, and it was Montana. But I had been talking to Ella about Spanish.
Nice.
I read it as Montana.
Oh,
and
okay.
I texted back, oh, where's that? And he was like, Montana?
It's like the state?
And now I got, what is it called when you just write a book about somebody else? Yeah.
What's an autobiography not about yourself? That would be a biography. It's an autobiography is when you write a biography about a car.
Oh, yes. Sweet. So, oh, man.
Now
yeah.
Now
well,
we know.
This is part one of our 3-parters. So I think before the next one, I am going to start binging The Crown.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm interested.
I think season 4 is when she's introduced. So
yes.
We might skip ahead.
Yeah.
If you send a DM about my British accent, I'm not going to read it. So, unless it's, wow, what a delightful British accent, then I will read it.
Please
no,
only send. I mean, that's just a rule of thumb in general. If you just only want to send nice DMs and emails,
yes, that'd be great.
That's
if
cool.
Slide my DM, be cool. But it's obviously I'm not a professional voice actress.
Yes.
Just trying my best.
Yet.
That's true.
I think you did fantastic. And
thank you so much.
The royal family, when they listen to this, will be thrilled.
Yeah. I apologize for calling you a dick, Charles, but you were being a dick at the time.
That's true.
Yes. And we're friends, so I can call you out.
That's
I can call you out.
Yeah. Well, we love providing Sinister Who to you at no cost, so if you like what you hear, consider supporting the show by donating to our Patreon. We're a small operation, creating this show for you by researching, writing, recording, and producing it ourselves. Any amount is sincerely appreciated and helps offset the cost of making and hosting the show.
As a thank you, you'll also get some sweet perks like ad-free episodes, a Sinisterhood sticker, membership to our exclusive Patreon Facebook group for those in the Rolling the Airwaves tier, a special shout-out on the show, a monthly bonus minisode, and patron-exclusive video and audio content, including our Am I the Asshole and our relationship segments, where we read and discuss the best that Reddit has to offer.
You also now have the fun perk of access to our Discord server, where you can connect with other fans in real time and discuss the latest in true crime, share personal ghost stories, or just post adorable pictures of your pets. We'll also be hopping on occasionally and hosting monthly Q&As where you can ask us all your burning questions, and the next one is this Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Time.
March 27th. For our patrons not in the U.S., you now have the option of paying in pounds or euros if you still listen to the show after all my bad British accents. This will save you the cost of the conversion fee. Annual memberships for all tiers are also now available, and those that select this option will be rewarded with a free month of membership.
For more details on all of this and specific member tiers, visit sinisterhood.com and click Patreon on the top banner. And make sure you stick around after our sign-offs to hear your shout-out.
So many of you have been tagging us in pictures of you sporting your sweet Sinisterhood merch. Keep those pictures coming. If you want cool Sinisterhood swag like t-shirts, mugs, totes, and even clothes for your kiddos, visit Sinisterhood.com and click on shop on the top banner.
The best thing you can do to help us grow is like, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please tell a friend who you think would like us to check us out. It means so much to us and really helps podcasts like us get more exposure.
You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Sinisterhood Pod and like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood Christy.
I am on Twitter at Christy or GTFO and on Instagram at Christy M. Wallace. Heather?
I'm on Instagram at Heather versus the World and on Twitter at MCK versus the World. I'm not sure why I had to think about that.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shoutouts: Brooke Shirley,
Rebecca Arthur,
K.A. Black,
Kimberly Mormon,
Amy Gilman,
Catherine Richards,
Krishanda,
Grace Marilow,
Hannah Bush,
Katrina Vorman,
Therese McLaughlin,
Diana Andrade,
Joyce Ferris,
Debbie Dixon,
Aaron Haberman,
Rebecca Malloy,
Isabel,
Jaina Young,
Tara Tish Wallace, the love of my life.
Oh, you know this person?
Mm-hmm.
She related to me?
She should be, I bet, because she's as amazing as you. We did improv together in college and have remained dear friends since then.
Oh, love it. Thank you. Caitlin Thomas,
Aaron Johnson,
Mackenzie Sousey,
Jody C.
Daly,
Sarah Claire Leal,
Moira Allen,
Sabrina Bays,
Jamie Ricker Chialdi,
Julia,
Kira Enoch,
Sarah Bichet,
Kelsey Badger,
Ellie Timmons,
Christy Millay,
Laura Sapport,
Miranda,
Hannah,
Jenny Ledicote,
Cameron,
Hazel Hollingdale,
Becky Visser,
Caroline Brennan,
Victoria Burt,
Emily Aldice,
Gabby Rios,
Kaylee Johnson,
Olivia Maxey,
Tiara,
Annika,
Camille P,
Margaret Cannon,
and Juliana Kelty. We hope we pronounced everybody's names right that one. We had some that we weren't sure about, but we love you and we're sorry if we don't. We still appreciate you sincerely, and we couldn't do this without you. Thank you so much, especially during these trying times. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Sinisterhood. I'm gonna kill you.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.